This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 28th, episode 922, brought to you today by our lovely, beautiful, talented, special, sweet, kind listeners. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday. How are you? The day you face your own biggest challenge.
That's good, yeah.
The day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Hey, it's already Wednesday. That came quick, huh? Two more days will be the weekend again, although I don't think it's a long one next weekend, just a regular one. But it's still Wednesday. Goes by real quick.
I tell you what.
We have that Monday off.
When you asked me if I was going to do, maybe instead of Monday, do Tuesday and Wednesday, I should have said no. I can't wake up that early two mornings in a row. This is awful.
You used to do it 5 days a week.
Yeah, I know, but I'm old. I got older, and I don't bounce anymore. I'm still sore from riding 2 days ago. I'm a disaster. I'm just like a lumpy mess. I'm tired. I'm sore. I'm having my second cup of coffee. It's right in front of me, though, so I promise I will perk up by the time our first guests get here.
Okay, good. Good. Well, let's find out who we do have coming on the show today.
On today's We Can't Wait for the Weekend Wednesday edition... EPM has been hitting the headlines of late, so Dr. Fugaro is stopping by with a refresher course. And then next up, Dr. Westendorf offers the latest and greatest on manure management research from Rutgers University. And then hitting the apex of hump day at the top of the hour, EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge puts our knowledge of useless horse facts to the test. So stay tuned for the fray, folks, and I'm going to go have some more coffee because apparently I can't talk this morning.
I'm with you, girl.
You guys are a mess.
We are. You're carrying it. It's all you got.
Hey, I got to tell you, I could have guessed when I woke up this morning that if there were two doctors on, one talking about a serious topic like EPM, which is very dangerous to horses and you got to worry about and all that stuff, and then one talking about poop, which one do I get assigned to interview? Not the one about EPM. That is
you're the poop guy. That's what
I
we're going to do.
I am in charge of all things poop, which is appropriate because our prize today is the Flexenfort from Equity. So there we go. It's poop.
Your prize is poop. We'll send you so much.
I'm sure the people at Rutgers would be happy to send you something. We'll ship it right on out to you.
I know, right?
Well, my daily whinny goes out to my girlfriend, Rosie Napravnik, who the other day decided that she didn't like the fact that other jockeys were racing with her in races at Churchill Downs on the card that day. She hated them all. She was mad at them all, so she'd just go out and win all the races. Actually, she won 5 races in a single day at Churchill Downs to take the lead in the jockey standings at the spring meet at Churchill Downs. She's trying to become the first female jockey to win the title at Churchill Downs. She's already won the leading jockey titles at Keeneland, Fairgrounds, Pimlico, Laurel, and Delaware Park. You think she's just greedy?
Show off.
Yeah, anyway, she's 26 years old. She won the second, third, fourth, seventh, and ninth races. She's already had 21 victories in the card at Churchill Downs. Did you see the little thing about her before the Kentucky Derby about her new house with her husband there? Did you see that little piece?
No, I didn't.
Well, they have this brand new house they bought in Louisville, and it's her husband's an agent, right, Jennifer, a jockey agent or something like that.
Yeah.
And super good looking, handsome guy. And they bought this house. They apparently have had it for 6 months. They gave everybody a tour of the house. Every room is completely empty because they haven't had time to buy any furniture. They sit on the floor.
Okay, that's hilarious. I was expecting you to say it was lavish and they make so much money. No.
It's a nice house, but every room is empty. They have nothing. They sit on the floor to watch TV because they haven't had time to go shop.
Like one of the MTV Cribs, it was one of these young actors, and they go into his house, and he's got this beautiful, like, china cabinet, and all they had in it was, like, Solo cups because he had no time to actually buy any china. I guess, you know, people live like that. Bless her heart, she's traveling so much. And I was thinking, too, when you were talking about that, back to the record, what's the record for winning races in one single day?
Pat Day holds it at Churchill. He runs 7. And there's 11 other jockeys that have won 6 in a day. But, you know, that's in the entire history of racing at Churchill Downs. So this is not something that happens very often. She ranks 4th naturally. Yeah.
I'm going to rate on your parade a little bit. We need to check. And this is Churchill Downs, so we need to check and see how many horses were in those races. She may have been the only runner in several of those contests at Churchill Downs.
Oh, no. I'm sure there were 12
really?
To 20 race. No, she's just kidding. She's trying to bust my chops about my girlfriend. You can't pick on her. She's indestructible. She ranks 4th nationally in purse earnings with $5.6 million, and they get about 10% of that. So just this year, she's made $560,000. I could buy a nice couch for that. I don't know about you, but I could get a nice couch for my living room to sit on.
To sleep on.
Order it on Amazon. Just have it shipped.
Nice.
All right, your turn.
Oh, my gosh, we got the funniest email, and I had to just give my Daily Winnie to Chris Reykjavik. Chris sent in an email, and I'm not going to read it to you in entirety, but I'm going to read enough of it so you guys understand why I thought this was so funny. She writes, I may need to apologize, and let me tell you why. This weekend, I was volunteering at a local event, the Maryland Horse Trials. I was the ring steward for one of the dressage rings. Already a thankless job, okay? That's me, not her.
I've done that, by the way.
it's awful. Yeah. Crazy. Nobody's ever happy. There was a major accident on one of the roads leading to the show and caught many people in traffic, making them late to the event. One of those people stuck in traffic was the judge for my ring. The judge was able to get to the ground about 15 minutes late. Hey, not so bad. We'll be a couple rides behind. Apparently, the judge did not decide to, and then I'm editing this, but the judge was in no hurry. Like, they had maybe 15 seconds in between rides if they were trying to catch up, and the judge would make comments for, like, 6 minutes. And as a rider, when you go in to warm up, you know, you're circling the ring waiting for the bell, and apparently each person, like, the first person they sent in had to trot around for 30 minutes because the judge was so slow. So at one, she goes on to say, at one point we were looking at almost a 50-minute delay in the ring. She still would not speed up her scoring. They didn't even give her a lunch break. She worked through all the breaks, you know. So I fully understand the nerves of many of the riders having been at an event. They're new to eventing, adding to their concerns cannot be helping. So as the complaints started to roll in and my frustrated comments with a smile started to wane, she said, I remember something I hear every Wednesday morning. And I started to direct all complaints to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. The conversation would go something like this. The bewildered rider and overheated coach come to me, oh, the handsome man holding the clipboard, sorry, Chris, and say, so, I hear there is a delay. How long till I ride? I need to go, no, because my special flower of a horse can have no longer than 32.15 minutes of warm-up, and if he gets any more than that, it'll ruin our scores, and my day will just be ruined, which I would play. I'm so sorry about the delay. I have about 8 horses riding before you, and we'll try to get going as quickly as we can. The judge is yet to take a break all day, but we're still a bit behind schedule, and I can let you know when there are fewer rides and we start your warm-up, to which the response would be something like, I guess I'll just check back later. And my response began to become, please send all complaints to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. So I guess this is my long-winded way of saying I am sorry if you've gotten any odd emails this weekend, but at least now you know the story behind them. Although I am half hoping I screwed up your email address and those complaints, blah, blah, blah. So then he goes on to say, Jamie, I think you're going to have to take part of the blame for this, since really it is listening to you that made the idea pop into my head. Actually, I would prefer you take the majority of the blame, and if you have any issues with that, please direct your comments to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Oh, Chris, that's so funny. The handsome man holding the clipboard.
Oh, and gosh. We have another guy listener.
Yay! New guy listening. He probably will never listen again because he's so sick of horse people at this point. I mean, there is just, that is like a thankless job already without the traffic concerns. I have myself have yelled at many a dressage starter, and I will rethink that. And if I really have any complaints, I will email jennifer@horseradionetwork.com next time I'm at a horse show. Jennifer, did you get any emails? I mean, they probably didn't remember in the heat of the anger, but did anything come in?
I think she's talking to a caller right now. I don't remember her saying about getting any odd emails, so.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. That just made me laugh.
The longest delay I've ever had when I was doing the steward thing at the gate was at Myopia, and I think I've told this story before. We were doing a jumping show, and it was booked all day. There were, like, you know, we had one ring, and there were tons of riders all day. So, you know, in a jumping show, they like, you know, they go out and warm up, and they start their jumps, and they don't want to be waiting after they've warmed up over jumps.
We're ready. Let us in.
Yeah, exactly. We ended up having to delay the show by 45 minutes because of these huge turtles that were laying eggs in the ring. These huge turtles, they must have been 2 feet long, and they were all laying eggs in the ring, and you can't rush a turtle that's laying eggs in a ring. So we tried to shush them out, and they were snapping turtles. So we weren't picking them up and carrying them out. We tried to put a towel over the one, and it just got vicious. Those things are vicious. They'll take your arm off. And
well,
so we were like, okay.
I
know what we're going to do. And they were doing them right at the jump. So we finally did start the show about a half an hour late with two of them still laying eggs by the jumps, but we figured out they were in a place that probably wouldn't get run over. But then we kept having to stop as they would make their way out because they were on course. So it's the most bizarre thing.
Oh, my gosh. That's bizarre. That is bizarre.
Snapping turtle.
Well,
and they get
45 minutes, 50 minutes, same thing. I mean, I don't know which is angrier, a snapping turtle making laying eggs or a event rider waiting for their dressage test. I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah, because some of those smaller events, too, they got to get to the next phase, like, almost immediately, right?
Yeah, so, because the pre-lent riders were decent. And as it trickled down to the less experienced riders and the coaches that were with the less experienced riders, I guess it was just all hell broke loose, like total chaos.
I guess he won't be volunteering at another show anytime soon.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, well, we lost another one.
Put me in the food booth. I'm not doing that dressage ring thing again.
No way. Well, anyway, Chris, thanks. That was hilarious.
Yes, it was very funny. That was very good. Well, we're going to be coming up to our first guest. We're starting, we got two health segments today, which is normally Wednesday is health day, and we have had some Wednesdays off from the health thing, but we had a topical thing come up, and that's EPM. It's been, you know, Jamie and I read all the news stories that are going through the press that talk about horses and diseases and stuff, and EPM is becoming a hot topic again. So, so Jamie, why don't you take the first one because you know a little bit more about this. I'll handle poop. You handle EPM.
Well, you're a great guy. And we've got Dr. Michael Figaro, who is on the line right now. Dr. Figaro is a professor of equine studies at Centenary College in Hackettstown, New Jersey. I've not had enough coffee this morning. And also a visiting instructor at Rutgers in the animal science department. Good morning, Dr. Figaro.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys?
Good morning.
I'm going to try to wake up a little bit more because
yeah.
This is actually
you were close. It's Centenary College. That's correct.
I had it. It's just too many vowels. you have been practicing large animal medicine and doing surgery for quite a while, and you run a practice up in New Jersey. And
correct.
You EPM is something we're talking about again. Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's a disease that's really never gone away, and it seems like, just like most diseases, that it's one that adds more challenges to both the horse owner and the veterinarian alike, and probably the most difficult challenge with EPM is making a true and accurate diagnosis, and there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the disease, but, you know,
Yeah, for those who don't know what EPM is, they're just hearing it for the first time, what is it?
Yeah, EPM is equine protozoal myelencephalitis, and it's probably one of the more commonly diagnosed neurologic diseases in horses, and yet the incidence of it is probably less than 1%. So from that standpoint, it's rather rare, although if it's your horse that gets a neurologic disease, you always hate to be the one. It's basically an infection that we see from a protozoa, and there are two protozoa that we see in this disease, Sarcosuchus neurona, and Neospora, which is there's a subset of Neospora that is. And this protozoa likes to live in a life cycle where it's basically between opossums, who's the definitive host, and cats and skunks, raccoons, armadillos, birds. They're the intermediate host. And it doesn't cause any disease in those animals, but this protozoa goes back and forth between these two species. And every now and again, as the opossum goes and defecates out on the pastures of the fields of the horse, then ingest the feces and specifically the sporocytes of that organism. And when it goes from the GI tract of the horse, it then goes into the blood, crosses what we call the blood-brain barrier, and gets into the CNS, specifically the brain and the spinal cord. And we see that, you know, the numbers, we can see horses have positive titers in their blood anywhere from 50 to 80% in terms of the number. So that shows that we have a lot of horses that get exposed to this disease. Not mm-hmm. every horse actually gets the disease, and the horse cannot spread the disease. The horse is considered a dead-end host. They can't send it to another horse. So the life cycle only goes between those kind of scavenging animals that I mentioned before.
So are places that are heavier in possums, much like, I don't know, Belmont Park, which just had possums galloping along
when you get into the prevention of the disease, that is one of the things. We certainly see a higher incidence in those areas that are heavily populated, and you certainly increase your risk factors of being exposed in those. So absolutely, and there's all kinds of opossum control that people can do from the simple standpoint of, you know, keeping the cat food out of the barn so that the horse, so that the opossum in the middle of the night don't go into it. I mean, we have it at the college as well that we are always dealing with other animals trying to get into our feed bins and things like that, and as well as, you know, kind of population control of those opossums. So.
Right, right. Now, the symptoms for EPM, you said it's neurologic, and I've seen videos of horses just minorly affected and or they are completely curved to the left. You know, it can be very dramatic. What are some symptoms that somebody that has just a, you know, just like a backyard horse would start to see if their horse had contracted EPM?
Yeah, it's really very variable. It depends on how much the organism, how much damage occurs to the central nervous system. And it can be the first thing that's kind of the hallmark clinical sign is we see that it affects one side of the animal more than another, what we call asymmetrical. So they may have muscle loss or muscle atrophy on one side. But you can have the whole host of neurologic conditions from a horse that's down, can't get up, to maybe some mild incoordination or stumbling. You can see other things, as you were describing, that would be cranial nerve, where they may have a head tilt or an ear droop or even a facial paralysis. And it can happen relatively quickly. Some people can describe that they haven't seen it up until, you know, a few hours earlier on things. And then some of the more mild signs that we see, and this is where you get into the gray zone with the horse population, is lameness. It's always difficult to determine, okay, is a lameness a primary musculoskeletal problem, or is it maybe a secondary to this neurologic deficiency? And so this is where probably maybe some of the misuse and abuse of medications for EPM would come into play, because people have a lame horse, they can't find a reason for why the horse is lame. Okay, well, maybe let's treat him for EPM and see if that makes a difference. And there's probably a rationale for that to some degree. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, even without doing a spinal tap, people just go ahead and treat them? I mean,
right.
So
then that gets into the next part of the diagnosis. How do we diagnose this? And the first thing to say is that there isn't one clear-cut diagnostic tool to do. It's really a combination of several different things. There are clinical signs, the physical exam that the veterinarian would perform. Then the other thing is there are several tests that we can do. There's blood tests, and then you can take, as you described, spinal fluid. And you can get spinal fluid from two locations in the horse. One of them can be done standing in the lumbosacral area, which is back by the tail region, not quite the tail, but in that area of the pelvis region, that can be done. Or another way where it's up behind the pole of the horse, that you actually have to anesthetize the horse to obtain the fluid from that bathes the spinal cord and the brain. And when you test the spinal fluid in combination with the blood, you get your most accurate diagnostic test to determine whether it is. There's obviously expense, and there's, you know, potential, be it small, but complications of those type tests as well. So some people may forego the diagnostics and say, well, I'm just going to treat the horse as well.
Right.
And, you know, we as veterinarians really try to encourage, you know, a full diagnostic if we can do that. But certainly in the horse world, money also can dictate some of that as well.
Well, see, now the problem, and I think the reason we're talking about this right now, is because there have been some horses that have been treated by compounded products, which are made in labs or compounding pharmacies, and they've had some adverse reactions and effects. Like, horses have been dying on this compounded medication. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are three what we call FDA-approved drugs that are out there. The one is a sulfadiazine-pyrimethamine combination that's put out by a company called Animal Health, or Rebalance is the name of the product. There's diclazurol, which is Protozil, which is put out by Intervet or Shearing Plough. And then there's Marquis, which is put out by Bayer, and the actual compound of that is Panazuril. Those have all gone through the FDA approval. They've done clinical trials. They've looked at toxic doses. So if you're unaware of what it goes through to go FDA approval, it's quite stringent and rigorous and expensive for a company. Compound agencies are basically laboratories that make drugs that are not readily available. And they're used in the human medical world quite more than you think, as well as in the veterinary market. And they don't come under as much scrutiny. They certainly have various regulations that they have to follow. In the scenario that you're describing that happened recently, it was a combination of a couple of the different drugs that I mentioned there, but there is no commercially available combination EPM medication like that. And what happened was one of the pyrimethamine combination that they used in this was a higher dose than they normally do. which mm-hmm. there are some veterinarians that are using the dose that they put that at, which is why it wasn't necessarily considered abnormal. But there were, I believe, and I don't know specifics of these horses. I read it just like everybody else. But the clinical signs varied from seizures to fever to death. I think it was a total of 10 horses. Two horses passed away, and the other six were responding to, they developed neurologic deficiencies, and within the first 36 hours of receiving the compound. And this is not the first time compound agencies have, you know, made the media attention with it. And there is a place right. for compound medications. And, you know, this is where you need to speak with your veterinarian and make sure that you're aware, and the veterinarians have to be aware of, you know, what the medications are out there and what compound company they're using, and how much scrutiny they go under.
Well, no, and I have heard of using, and I my vet back in Georgia, when I lived in Georgia, would prescribe compounded different things that mm-hmm. would be like joint help, but I don't mm-hmm. know if I would purchase compounded medication that would treat EPM. You know, like, you got to be reasonable. Compounded bute is one thing. Compounded EPM medication, I would think that people would be a little smarter, and that that veterinarians might not recommend this. I know it's illegal to buy some compounded medication here in Arizona. They have to have the approval from the FDA. Yeah. What is your take on it?
Well, I mean, I certainly use some compound products, and I try to only use compounded products that are commercially not available, which is what you're describing. If there is a commercially available product, we try to do that. And there is, you're correct, there are some legal ramifications of using a product that is already commercially on the market, and you are using it as a compound company. But I think a lot of what dictates why an owner or even a physician may prescribe this probably comes down to cost. And many of the EPM medications are costly. They can run a little higher than the actual diagnostic tests that are occurring. So I think a lot of the reasons why people will do that is because of cost. Now, on the flip side, there are some very, very good compounded products that are out there that are very safe and effective, but just like any other laboratory and even the large companies sometimes get into preparation problems, and that's why it's really important that they have a good quality control of their products. Of course, again, the compound companies have come under a lot of scrutiny even since the polo ponies that occurred a few years ago with the overdose of selenium that was,
right.
was compounded at a higher concentration that was initially intended. And that was a laboratory error, from what I understand, on that case, and it was an unfortunate scenario. But those errors can happen with the larger companies. It's less likely because they have a lot more checks and balances for that regulation. But that also comes at a cost. And that cost will then translate into what the client is charged to the horse owner.
So being the veterinarian extraordinaire that you are, you've got a client that has a horse. I know we've got to let you go. You've got to run. But you have a client that has a horse that is showing signs of EPM. What are you going to do as the vet?
Showing signs of EPM, I like to perform the blood test as well as the spinal tap as well. I have a certain laboratory that I like to use in those cases, and I typically only prescribe products that are FDA approved for EPM.
Okay.
That being said, I will tell you that in many of the show worlds, there are some products like the product Marquee that's put out by Bayer, appears to have some anti-inflammatory properties as well, which have nothing to do with what the medication's used for. And so this is another reason why people will tend to use that, because it's a legal product to be used to be treating for EPM, and yet they can get anti-inflammatory properties out of it as well. So that's another reason why you see some of these products maybe overused out there.
Now, see, I got to let you go on that, but that's a whole other can of whoop-ass that we could open.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, I would love to have you back on to talk about that, because that people are using these medications even in the race world, from what I've been reading, and using them incorrectly. And sadly, there's always, you know, crooked people in every sport. So maybe we can get you back on to talk about that.
I would love to do it.
Oh, Dr. Figaro, it's been a pleasure having you on. It's been so interesting listening to you. I feel lucky. The people that work with you are really lucky because they get to learn a lot.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to do it and be happy to do it again.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, I didn't even know. I didn't even ask him where to go to learn more. I didn't even ask him what his website was. I got stressed. He was supposed to leave at 6:30. Jennifer, you had me a nervous wreck.
if you Google ECM,
you'll find lots of good information. There's no worries there.
Yeah. And maybe Jennifer can post the link to his website on our Facebook page. And also we want to thank Rutgers University, the Animal Science Department, for putting us together with him and our next guest,
so
who's going to be coming up here in a minute as well. But first, we want to thank you, the listeners, for becoming auditors of the Horse Radio Network, or members or patrons, or whatever you want to call it. You're supporters of the Horse Radio Network. You know, we do have advertisers, and they help pay the bills and keep the shows going and pay a little bit to the host. But if you would like to help support the hosts even more, and also to help us grow the network and add more shows and continue to do the things that we do, then you can become an auditor just by going to horsesinthemorning.com, follow the big link in the middle of the page, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become involved. We have some things that we do with auditors. They have now become the testers of products and the readers of books for us. We're going to have some of our first book reviews coming out from some of our auditors. Also, you get the blooper reels, and we've had lots of comments on the first blooper reel, which featured Helena and I from the Stable Scoop Show, mostly Helena, because I never make any mistakes. And everybody seemed to enjoy it. We had a comment that said that it's nice to know that Helena can laugh at herself so well with her many mistakes. And I thought that was an interesting comment from a listener.
Many mistakes.
And I have to say, after last week's show, we have many more to add to the next one. I want to thank Brenda, Jennifer, Kelly, and Tina for signing up here in the last couple of days. We really appreciate all of your support. And you can become a auditor. It's very simple. It's very easy, and contribute for as little as $1 a month doing that. So we appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Now, if you do want to become an auditor and you don't want to do book reviews, you don't want to do anything with us, that's totally fine, too. We'll leave you alone. We will bother you, or we will leave you alone. You can specify.
That's correct. You always have the choice what you want to do or not do, but there are special benefits for being auditors, you know, because they are truly our super fans. But yeah, you know, we know not everybody can afford something. The other thing I wanted to say before we get to our next guest is that thanks to our terrific listeners out there, whether you're an auditor or not, you help support the show by telling your friends about it. And I just looked at the numbers for April, and almost every show, all but one, set listener records and download records for the month of April, including Horses in the Morning. So
yay!
Thank you to our terrific listeners. I'm not going to say.
Oh.
But I will say that Jennifer's show, Horse Tip Daily, also set another record in the month of April as well. So good for you, Jennifer. Good job.
It wasn't me. I wasn't in last place.
No, you weren't in last place. All right, let's get to our next guest. We're going to continue the topic of health, although it looks like I get to talk about poop today. And, you know, who better than a horse husband who is forced to clean the stalls every day and to clean the fields every day by the threat of a lunge whip? Who is better to talk about that than me? And we have Dr. Westendorf on with us today. I think Dr. Westendorf must be on hold. Oh, who do we have there, Jennifer? I have no idea where that came from. I don't know either. Dr. Westendorf is a specialist of animal sciences at Rutgers Cooperative Extension and the New Jersey Agricultural Experiment Station. He conducts research, writes, and lectures on subjects such as animal nutrition, the use of food waste as animal feed, animal health, and manure waste and management. So let's welcome Dr. Westendorf to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
I don't know where I got the music from there. That was interesting.
That was Rutgers fight. That was the Rutgers fight song you were playing.
Oh, appropriate.
Very, very appropriate. Yes.
Well, Dr. Westendorf, before we get into the topic of poop, I saw in the description there the use of food waste as animal feed. And one of the things, having grown up in central Pennsylvania, that we always found fascinating is that they, you know, in Hershey, that they use the byproduct of making chocolate for cows, for animal feed for cows. So I always thought that was interesting.
That is correct. A lot of the byproduct from chocolate production often is fed to particularly dairy cows. If you want to broaden that, many of the byproducts from other kinds of food processing, whether it's beer or distilled spirit production, whether it's grain processing, corn processing, a lot of those byproducts are fed to animals because there's no other good way to dispose of them, and they make excellent animal foods.
Well, that's why all the cows around Hershey look so happy. They're eating chocolate every day. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
I mean, and my mom always tried to convince us that because of that, that's where chocolate milk came from. It was only the cows around Hershey that made chocolate milk. And for a while,
of course,
Yes,
and of course you believed her.
Yes, we did. Well, now let's switch that from yummy chocolate to poop, something that we have to deal with every day, you know, at every farm. Everybody that has a horse has to deal with this problem. And, you know, it is a problem in some areas. We were out in Norco, California, where everybody keeps about 3 horses on 10 square feet. And manure management is a huge issue in a place like that. But, you know, whether you have a big farm or small, we all deal with this issue. So this is something that you actually study at Rutgers?
Absolutely. We try to develop disposal methods or techniques for people. I mean, a lot of New Jersey is like Norco, California, that you mentioned. It's 3 to 5 horses on a very small acreage, sometimes located in a watershed area that's kind of sensitive. And often we find that horse producers maybe aren't as, they're not as aware of the risks of runoff that, say, a dairy producer would be that produces lots of poop on from a lot of cows. So one of our prime areas of outreach is to help those smaller producers understand the potential risks and the potential benefits of manure. It can be a valuable resource. It's high in different nutrients that are important for crop growth and management. And we try to help them with that. And we also try to help these producers, smaller producers, develop whether it's composting technologies or other ways of disposing the manure off the farm.
So what have you found out in your studies? What is best? You know, what do you recommend? Obviously, you recommend people clean their paddocks because that's just what you were talking about there. And
sure.
And I know a lot of horse people that don't do that. You know, we do here to keep the flies down. It's one of the reasons we clean our paddocks every day is to try and keep the flies down.
Well, I think that's an important point, that one of the best things you can do is clean your paddocks, pick your paddocks on a regular basis. Particularly on a smaller acreage, the paddocks, there's maybe no grass or very little grass or pasture land for horses to graze. And as you mentioned, it's important to pick those paddocks on a regular basis, or you will get some of the issues, disease, parasites, whatever, that might exist from that.
So now, what do you guys do at Rutgers? What do you do there?
We have a little more acreage. We probably have, close to 50 to 75 acres approximately for our horse herd. And it gets the sacrifice areas, we'll call them, or the sacrifice paddocks. They get picked on a regular basis. That manure goes into a manure storage. That manure storage also is used to empty our stall barns on a regular basis. And all that manure gets composted. We compost it, and some of it probably goes back on our own fields. We do have some field crop ground as well, corn production primarily, and some of it gets disposed off the farm as well. we sell some of it.
Now, for people who do spread, do you recommend composting it before spreading? Because, I mean, we had a big farm, too. We had about 100 acres, and we would just put it right in the manure spreader and take it out and spread it. Now, is it better to compost it? Is it, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Spread right away or compost?
There's
a couple factors. If you're spreading it, if you're going to be spreading it back on any place where horses are going to graze, you're going to want to compost it. Composting, if done properly, will break down pathogens, and most importantly, it'll destroy parasites. And if we can get, we don't want to be reintroducing those parasites onto horse pastures to reinfect the pasture and to reinfect horses. So if it's going to be put back on horse pastures, yeah, absolutely, you want to compost it. If it's going back on crop ground, it's maybe not quite as important. Oftentimes, however, if horse manure is bedded with, if horses are bedded with shavings, shavings tend to, when they're applied back on the land, they can bind up certain nutrients in the soil, particularly nitrogen. So it's if you compost it first, you'll break it down and you'll limit that possibility. So if you're bedding with shavings and you plan to spread it, you should compost. If you're spreading with, say, a straw-based product, it's going to be less of an issue, and it'll be more effective. One thing that's done in our area, at least with the larger farms, the thoroughbred and the standardbred operations, is they bed a lot with straw, and that straw, we have a good disposal option. The mushroom farmers in Pennsylvania will come and pick up that straw-bedded manure, and they will use it in mushroom production. So if you're eating some, some shiitake mushrooms this summer, it could well come from a compost pile in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, where horses were bedded with horse manure.
Yeah, and they are pretty picky there. I know that Jennifer worked in that area, and they're pretty picky about the manure they get because they do not want shavings. They want straw.
That's right.
Yeah, and they don't want certain things mixed in. We experimented at one point when we had our big farm. We had a relative that worked in the printing business, and they always had tons of waste shredded paper shredded into little strips. And we actually used that shredded paper for a period of time. The reason we stopped using it worked great for bedding. The reason we stopped using it is when you'd spread it in the fields and the paper would dry out and it got windy, it would blow into the neighbor's yards, and they all complained about all the shredded paper all over their yards. So we couldn't do that anymore.
There are other effective bedding sources. There's some pelleted products that are available. A product called Woody Pet, which is a pelleted, more of a pelleted wood. There's another product called Strufex, which is a pelleted straw. And I think you can get pelleted corn cobs. And so there's a variety of products on the market that people can bed horses with.
Now, something I'm curious about, you said something about properly composting. So what do you do to properly compost?
Well, to properly compost, it's essential that the compost pile gets up to a certain temperature, and that's probably, around 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Once the center of the pile reaches that level, you'll come in and you'll turn the compost pile again, and you'll continue to do that on a regular basis. There's different opinions on how often that ought to be. You'll continue to turn it on a regular basis until your pile does not increase in temperature as much, and at that point, you'll say you've got a finished compost or a compost that's ready to be cured at least. So it's important that you reach that proper temperature in the center of the pile.
Are we talking a certain period of time? Is it 3 months or 6 months on average? I guess it depends on whether it's winter or summer.
I think it depends on how aggressively you turn it. If you're turning it weekly, or even there's some compost operations who turn almost daily with the right technology, that can greatly increase shorten the time required to properly compost. But the average producer is not going to turn it every day. I would say the average producer is probably going to turn it more like, every month. And they should do that, again, on a regular basis and until you get that more stabilization of temperature. And that could take, 6 months to a year to do that, to do that properly.
And you really want to have a front-end loader, because otherwise it ain't happening, which is the other problem, is a lot of them don't. Yeah.
That's right. You need a front-end loader or some. Yeah, absolutely. You need a front-end loader.
Now, as far as runoff is concerned, you know, whether I assume we're talking about from the field is where you're going to see most of the runoff. Is that mainly a concern for people who don't clean their paddocks or fields?
It depends, and let's not think that it just comes from the fields. If your manure storage is located in a sensitive location, is too close to water, for example, too close to a stream, then you might be concerned about runoff coming out of your manure storage area. So we always recommend that a manure storage be located at least 100 foot from water and any kind of a water body, and that you also have some sort of a vegetation grown up around the manure storage, grassy buffer area or whatever you want to call it, to kind of restrain the flow of any nutrients that comes out of the manure pile. Of course, if you have a roof on your manure pile, that's less of an issue. But in terms of spreading on the fields, we would always recommend that your pasture should be well vegetated as possible, and that, again, you give a buffer area around the exterior of the field, particularly if there's a water body there. And I think we usually recommend 30 feet. That should be there should be no horse and exposure to the pastures in that area to limit any runoff. So, I think that in my experience with a lot of the horse producers in our state, that a lot of them maybe aren't as aware of the requirements for keeping their horses away from water or keeping their manure storages located away from water.
Huh. Interesting. You know, in Florida, we have some help. I was just going to say, in Florida, we get some help from the bugs. If you leave a pile of manure out in the field for about 3 days in the summertime here, it'll be gone. It'll be powder because so many bugs.
Well, that's one of the reasons we would recommend that you drag your pastures on a regular basis, because as the sun hits the manure pads and they dry out, you bring your drag in, your drag harrow in, and you break them up, and you're gonna greatly break things up, and you're going to destroy parasites at the same time when you do that.
Yeah, I was wondering, how long do they live in manure?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I think as long as the manure stays fairly moist and they're going to continue to live, and they can stay on the pastures for some period of time as well. I'm not sure what that period is.
Interesting. Well, where can people find out more from you or you know, from Rutgers? Where do they go?
Well, they can come to our Equine Science Center website. I think it's esc.rutgers.edu. esc.rutgers.edu. Tiffany just tells me that's correct.
Okay.
And on that, you should just follow the links to our environmental management page. I'm not sure that that's what it's called, but you could follow that link, and you could we have a virtual tour of our farm, and on that virtual tour there's a variety of resources related to composting, manure storage, pasture management, barnyard management, how to handle waste running off paddocks, some vegetative options for filtering out nutrients. So there's a lot of things that are available on that website, water quality management. It's called Best Management Practices at the Riders Lane Farm. So you could go to that link, and you could actually download pictures from each of these different sites where we've done some work.
Cool.
And I expect that most every state in the country probably has, through their state departments of ag, some water quality management suggestions for animals. For animal manure, and some states are going to be different than others, but I expect most states have got something or some good links. Another good link is to go to extension.org, eextension.org, and just follow the links there for farming and animal manure management. There's a lot of great resources at that website as well.
Very good.
Well,
I have a question for you now. You have to be honest
sure.
with me. When you go to a party, if somebody asks what you do and what your doctor is in, you say animal nutrition and you leave out the part about manure and waste management, don't you?
Well, I probably say animal nutrition, but if it leads into other discussions, that's okay. I'm not afraid of saying
Or
poop.
It depends how good looking she is. That's the other criteria there.
Sure. One thing I'd like to add about this is most states have water quality regulations that will affect horse farms. I know our state does, and that's one of the ways that I got involved more with animal waste or poop management, let's call it, by trying to help farmers deal with those state, in our state regulations that affect how they manage their waste. And I'm sure all the states have those same regulations. So producers ought to familiarize themselves with what those regulations are, and you know, they need to abide by those when they can.
All right, very good. Thank you, Dr. Westendorf. We appreciate you being here.
You're welcome, and you have a nice day.
All right, take care. And again, thank you to Rutgers for helping set up those guests. We hope you learned a little something this morning about waste management and also EPM. Well, you know, I was driving around the other day, and I noticed that a lot of the farmers here are taking in their first cutting of hay here in Florida, which reminded me that we haven't played Hay in Time in a long time. So this is Mary Ann Kennedy. We'll be right back. We have more to come. We have Lisa Marie Kelly of Ice Road Truckers fame, a TV star, with us today playing the Celebrity Challenge, and our very own Minnie Sarah will be playing as well.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses, so slick and round. But they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time. Making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, 'cause it's hay in time. Call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that final bale, we'll celebrate and know we earned that ale. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, 'cause it's hay in time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy.
It's hay in time, and that's Mary Ann Kennedy. You can find all of her music at maryannkennedy.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. Very busy getting all the guests lined up today. And we are brought to you by you, our listeners and our auditors. We appreciate you very much. And we are going to be playing Celebrity Trivia Challenge here in just a minute. Jennifer's getting everybody lined up, but we have a, you know, there were, it came out yesterday that there's a couple of celebrities that are going to be attending the next leg of the Triple Crown. Jamie,
so,
one of the people we've had as a guest.
So exciting. Probably one of my favorite interviews ever. I just named my new foster after her. Her name is Penny Chenery. And she, you know, you would think Penny Chenery would have every reason to root against California Chrome because her horse, you know, kind of is the most revered of all the ones to win the Triple Crown. It's a very select group, and she is so pulling for the big chestnut, California Chrome. She is going to attend the Belmont at 92. She's going to be wearing a corsage of roses, black-eyed Susans, and carnations, which, of course, are all the flowers of each of the, one of the races. She's going to be sitting with Affirmed its owner and Seattle Sleuth owner. How cool is that? Can I please, I would give my pinky finger to sit with the three of those girls and watch this horse race. Oh, my gosh.
You definitely
Patrice
want to
Wilson,
be a fly on the wall there. I want to hear what they talk
Sally
about.
Sally Hill. I know. And they said they're all going to be there to personally welcome California Chrome if he can pull it off. Now, I'm sorry. And I shouldn't say this, and I'm knocking on wood right now. There is just no doubt to me that California Chrome is going to join that club in June 6th. It just, there just can't happen. But she says that she's truly hoping there will be another Triple Crown winner. She says it's good for racing. It gets everybody excited. It's a feel-good moment. And she says the owners of California Chrome seem to be the people I would enjoy celebrating with. I'm all for it, and I hope it happens. God, I love her. She's the coolest.
I can't wait. I mean, I think, too, you had another story about, was it the jockey?
Dude, no. Check this out. The one person, you know, when you read the Blood Horse or whatever published thing about horse racing, everybody is backing California Chrome. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There is one person who is sticking out like a sore thumb, and it is our dear friend, the Mig. Richard Migliori has come out saying that Espinoza Victor is screwing up right now by not being at the Belmont and being there to just ride every single day and practice every single day. Even though he's been a model of consistency aboard California Chrome, every single one of the races, he says that it's important for the jockeys to get out there because there are pitfalls of being on the wide sweeping turns of Big Sandy, which is what they call the track at Belmont. And he said that, I wish Victor was coming here to ride for the next 2 weeks to familiarize himself with the racetrack. And he says that, like, Smarty Jones' rider misjudged things as well. He was, Victor Espinosa was going for the Triple Crown in 2002, and his horse stumbled and fell. So he still hasn't really had a Belmont ride to test a mile and a half. And he says that he walked the track every single day trying to get comfortable with it. He goes on to say that, I wouldn't want to feel like I was a visitor in the locker room. I would like to feel part of the home team. So he wishes that Victor would get out here and start riding the horses every single day, but hasn't happened yet. So the Mig sticking out like a sore thumb, our dear friend.
Poor Mig. We got to get him back on. We haven't had him on in a while.
I know. He needs to come back on. He's kind of a big deal now. He might not actually come on with us anymore.
I know. Yeah,
he got famous.
I know. He did. But you know what? He was on when he was semi-famous. But, you know, they all disappear when they become really famous.
That's true. That's why I'm still here, Glenn. Just haven't quite gotten famous enough yet.
That's why I haven't left.
Yep.
But you know, when I become famous, you're doing this show by yourself. I'm never coming back, right?
Peace out. When you win the lottery, you're going to quit the show?
I'm
out
of here. If I win the lottery, I'll probably still do this show every once in a while, you know, just make appearances. That would be fun.
I'll come out and I'll start the show with, I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and gracing us with his presence today is Val Royal.
That's right.
Glenn from Ocala, Florida. Yeah, that'd be great. Right. Can't wait
that'd
for that.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy hosting the show by yourself every day for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be great. So, any more news? I mean, there was a really cool story actually written on Horse Nation, and it's very, very funny, and it's also very true. Did you see that California Chrome, when he went to, I believe it was Churchill Downs, they misspelled, all the horses wear a saddle cloth with their names on it and the race on it, so you know you see them coming up and you know who it is, and they gave California Chrome a saddle cloth that said California Chrome, and it was misspelled. So it was California. Yes, it was misspelled. It was wasn't California. It was California Chrome at the Kentucky Derby. Well, Art Sherman is like, I'm sorry, we can't change it because now that's part of the deal. Is he thinks that it helped them win, you know, everybody's so superstitious. Every single detail is superstitious. So he used the California saddle cloth every single day warming up. Now, they used a real one that was spelled correctly when they actually ran the Derby, but he worked in it every single day, and the one that was misspelled. So he gets to the Preakness. Guess what Pimlico does? They give him one with a typo, too. So they're like, okay, here's your misspelled one, and here's your correctly spelled one. And he used the misspelled one constantly all the way up to the race and then put the new one on for the actual Belmont. Well, he gets to New York, and here's your misspelled one, and they've given him a misspelled one, and he is working every single day in the one that's California Chrome, and they will use the actual real saddle cloth when it is the race time. So Belmont has jumped on board, and they are helping as well. I think it's so funny. And they also made Belmont Stakes made saddle cloths for the possum. And one says possum and one says opossum.
They made saddle cloth for the possum.
Is that so funny? He's being flooded with stuff. Like, there's somebody sent a picture in of with possums that said Belmont or bust, and there's two possums in a cage from the possum posse. I mean, this whole possum thing is really, really taking off. It's hilarious, and that's all I could think of when we were talking about EPM was the dang possum on the track. Better not get to California Chrome, but. Pretty cool that they're using the misspelled one the whole time.
Well, Jennifer is trying to get Lisa on the phone here, having a little trouble. I know that they're trying to connect and get her into the system here. So as soon as she does, we'll get started with that. But I do have another story for you, and that is that your son's future mother-in-law, Zara Phillips, will return to three-star level at this month's, which show is it? The Equitrek Branham International Horse Trials. And what's going to be really cool about that is, of course, Great Britain in 2012 Olympics won the silver medal. And all of her teammates are going to be competing at Branham as well. So she's got all of her teammates are going to be there. This is also the first time that she's bringing her horse that she won the silver medal with back to the three-star level. So she's going to be there. And I think you should probably go because you really want to get to know her now so you have plenty of time for your son and her new daughter to fall in love.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is his future wife.
Yes.
So we probably I don't understand why she hasn't called me and invited me out to the country to spend some time with her yet, but I'm waiting on that phone call any day.
Well, now, her daughter, I think it's perfect because her daughter's name is Mia, and you would have Luke and Mia. That sounds good together.
It's so good. There's so many things that are so perfect. Zara Phillips and I are going to be, I don't know. If our kids marry, are we sisters? No, we're like just mothers-in-laws. There's
yes,
no relation.
Mothers-in-law. You're not related.
We'll be best friends. We'll be best friends, obviously.
I'm sure. And she'll invite you to hang out at the castles over there. You know, you're still expected to do the show. But it'll be afternoon. You'll be better off.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I think Jennifer's getting somewhere. I think we're close to getting the guest on. We'll see what happens here.
Oh my gosh, Maya Angelou, who has just passed away at age 86. Wow, she's such an amazing, empowering woman, and I'm very sad about that. That is just came across Facebook. Maya Angelou has passed away at the age of 86 years old.
I
sorry,
think
didn't mean to
drop
you down there. Okay.
Anyway, after that. Thanks, Jamie.
My
let's play some upbeat music.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
California Pro goes to the track.
And, of course, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And they are our favorite manure forks of all time. We're continuing our conversation of poop here today. But you know what? Jamie and I come on here every week, and we tell you how wonderful these manure forks are, how they're the best manure forks in the world, how they're indestructible, all that stuff. We say it every week. But let's hear from one of our listeners who called in. It was nice enough to call in and leave a voicemail yesterday. And I was happy to get that this morning, and she agreed to let me play it. So this is Colleen Peachy from Pennsylvania with what she has
to say.
Hi, Glenn.
This is Colleen. I just wanted to leave a couple words for you about the Flexen Fork. I have to say the first thing I noticed about the Flexen Fork is how lightweight it is. I used to use the heavy-feeling forks with the high sides, and it was a means to an end. As I'm one of those people who self-admittedly tries to pick up every last bit of manure with each scoop, the forks with the sides lasted longer than the other ones that I tried. But they still ended up breaking in the end. In my experience, the Flexen Fork works for me because it is lighter than other forks that I've used, and it feels stronger. Not because it is made from super heavy plastic, but because the basket actually has give to it when you scoop. So when I'm picking up that extra large pile of manure in a single scoop, I feel the basket flex with the weight instead of hearing the time snap. So when I clean my three stalls every day, I grab a Flexen Fork. It's lightweight, the basket flexes so the tines don't break, and the basket is a totally awesome shade of yellow. Major win for me. I'm just saying. Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
It is the important things that we worry about when we're horse people. Thank you. If you want to be one of the cool kids, then head on over to EquityMFG.com and order your Flexen Fork or Shaken Fork today. Well, I'm very excited. We have a TV celebrity with us today. She's also a horse girl and a friend of the Horse Radio Network. And, you know, we could say we have two listeners playing each other because Lisa Marie Kelly of Ice Road Truckers is also a listener, and that's how I met her. And she dropped us a note and said, I listen to your shows when she's driving up there in Alaska. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Sorry.
How? Are you alive?
Yes, I'm alive.
Well, it is early there. It's very early in Alaska right now. We appreciate you getting up for us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Where are you in Alaska?
In Wasilla. It's right by Anchorage.
Okay. My husband just got back from up north in Fairbanks, so he just got home, and he said that it was starting to get really cold there. I'm like, wait, it's supposed to start to get warm there. He said it snowed one of the days he was there.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad, because it's been, like, the best summer ever. It's been, okay, hot to me, like 70 degrees, like almost every day, and in fact so much so that we have all fires running rampant, so we need some rain.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Don't think
well,
about that in Alaska.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it snowed in Prudhoe last time I was there, so.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, tell us a little bit about your horses for the listeners who aren't familiar with you being a horse girl.
Well, I'm not, like, super intelligent with horses. I just kind of fake it. So I fake my way through everything. I got a mini horse from a fan of mine in Pennsylvania. So he sent it to me on an airplane. So I've had the mini for quite a while now. His name's Rocky.
He put it in a dog crate? What'd he do?
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, you can't really put it, like, in a dog crate. You have to make your own crate. And then my friend was going to try to do it. She said the airlines don't allow it anymore, so I guess I got him here just in time. and his name's Rocky, and he was raised by me, so he's mean and grumpy and not very trained. then I have Sky is a Tennessee Walker, and I bought her actually first, and then she's on the show, actually. Like, I was working 1 year to get her back because she got sold, and I had to find her again and all that. So she's kind of turned out to be my husband's horse because she's so sweet. And then I have Ace that I bought with my movie money before I ran out, and he's a gypsy banner, and he's perfect for me because he's stubborn.
Gotta love a woman that gets her movie money and spends it on a horse. That's why we love you.
You have no idea. I just sold a barn for them out of it.
Hey, I saw pictures of the new barn. It's very nice. You need to build a nice barn.
Oh, yeah, I should send you some updated ones. I just haven't been posting on Facebook because I figure, you know, it's just kind of for me. It's not for the whole world to see, but
yeah,
it's coming along. It's really nice.
It is pretty. It is very nice. And Lisa also drives her horses, so she rides and drives. She does both. And I think that's how we met, as you were listening to the driving radio show with Wendy and I, and that's how we ended up being in contact with you. I would like you to meet your opponent because she also drives and also has a Mini. We got Mini Day here. And we call her Mini Sarah, and she is on the line right now. Hey, Mini Sarah.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Just kind of wasting time at dialysis. No better way.
Well, at least, you know, you're at dialysis. You can play a game and have the potential of winning something. I mean, that makes it a good dialysis day, right?
It sure does.
Well, now, Sarah, get this, Lisa. Sarah drives. She is a mounted shooter, only she's not mounted on a horse. She is in a cart. She does cart shooting. And so we have Mini Sarah, who she calls herself vertically challenged. She's vertically challenged. And she drives. This is the best part. The Mini that she drives, and it's unbelievable. I've seen videos of her driving this Mini at rapid speed through the mounted shooting course. And the Mini is blind. So she drives a blind Mini that pulls her through these mounted shooting courses at blinding speed. It's just amazing to watch. So, Mini Sarah, you're a celebrity in our book, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that, but okay.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It is pretty cool what you do with that Mini. Was the Mini, I mean, he's not deaf, so, you know, when you first started shooting, you know, behind him in the cart, how did that go?
It actually went really well. Because he uses all of his other senses, it just seemed to click better because he listens for the pop of the balloon. So he doesn't see me pulling the gun. He doesn't really get bothered by the smoke. He listens for each pop, and once that 10th pop happens, he knows it's all done.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
So he counts, too? How many balloons do you have? Like six? Can he count so he knows when it's done?
Yeah. I think he can. Better
Lisa,
than
you
I
have
do.
To speak up. Lisa, you're going to have to speak up a little bit. You're a little quiet all the way from Alaska.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, I wanted to tell you guys what you're playing for, and the prize today is a Flex and Fork, the commercial we just did. The good folks over at Equity have agreed to give away a Flex and Fork, and I know that's something. And, Sarah, they make tines that are really close together for minis. So you're going to be good to go. You'll be able to clean up mini poop with this Flex and Fork. And, Lisa, you're playing for a charity that we absolutely love, and it's so appropriate for today's show. You're playing for Gentle Carousel Minis here in Florida. They are tiny little therapy horses that visit over 25,000 adults and children each year at hospitals, hospice programs, assisted living. They were up in at Newtown, Connecticut for the survivors of the Sandy Hook shooting, and they've also been out and the tornado survivors and more. I actually met one of their minis on a show one morning, and they're absolutely adorable and cute as heck. So I'm sure they could use
they're
a
awesome.
Flex support over there. So they have 40
Great.
Or 50 at the farm. So they have a lot of minis.
Wow.
So it's perfect that that's what you're playing for today. And Jamie
yep.
is going to explain the rule.
Okay, are you ladies ready for this? We are going to start asking trivia questions. Some will be true, false. Some will be multiple choice. Some we just have to answer. I'm going to start with Sarah. I'm going to ask you a question. Then we're going to go to Lisa. Sarah, Lisa, Sarah, Lisa. If we're tied at the end of three questions, we do have a tiebreaker, and I will ask those questions as we get to it. Are y'all ready to get started?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'm not very
okay.
horsey, so I'm going to fail miserably.
Oh, you'll do just fine. You'll do just fine. You know, the first question I'm actually going to ask, you had a 50-50 shot because it's true-false. So, Sarah, according to the AMHA rulebook, I'm assuming that's the American Mini Horse Association,
yes.
rulebook, any coat color or pattern is acceptable. True or false?
That would be true.
That's right.
Yay!
Wow.
Good job,
and,
Sarah.
You know, when I was
wow,
reading
I feel
the
really smart right now.
Yay, you got one. I was thinking, I was like, you know, I've seen spotted minis, I've seen paint minis, I've seen buckskins, I've seen grue, I've seen every color mini, so that makes sense that it would be acceptable. So very good. Congratulations, Sarah. Lisa, it is your turn.
All right.
True or false? Miniature horses. This is just true, false. And again, I would like to let everybody know that if you have complaints, you can send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. If you don't like the questions or the answers or any sort of anything, really, in life, just email jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Tell your friends. All right, true or false? Miniature horses may be shown in weighted shoes once they have reached 5 years of age.
False.
That's correct. Good job, Lisa.
Correct. They must be shown barefoot. Unweighted boots are allowed. I didn't know that people showed minis in weighted shoes. Wow. Learned something.
I mean, first of all, it's hard enough to make a shoe that small to fit on that foot. How would you put a weight on it?
I know, right?
Just a bigger
is
quarter.
It like,
a bigger
it's not
quarter.
Like Tennessee walking horse shoes, right? A bigger quarter.
Actually, it is. They use the chains that go around the outside of the small boot.
I actually have seen that.
Oh, that's disgusting. Sorry.
Yep.
That's disgusting. That's
shame
crazy.
On you. Send your complaints, too.
Yes, that's your complaint,
send your complaints
too.
About minis wearing weighted shoes to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
That's right.
She will answer all of your yes, she will send you, she will explain why they wear chains. I don't know. Okay. Kara, your turn. You've got multiple choice, okay?
Uh-oh.
America's largest rodeo, the National Western Stock Show, is held annually in Denver. What year was the first National Western Stock Show held? Is it A, 1966, B, 1906, or C, 1896?
Uh-oh. I'm going to go with 1906.
That is right. How do you know
Ooh,
that?
Awesome.
Always pick the middle. Very good.
Very good.
Very nice. Okay, Lisa, we head to you. It is currently 2-1. So to stay tied, you've got to get this answered correctly. You've also got a multiple question. The partial skeleton of a prehistoric horse was unearthed near Dawson City, was found to be how old? A, 60,000 years old, B, 100,000 years old, or C, 700,000 years old? So 60, 700, or 100? 60.
Oh,
dude, I would like that one too. That's crazy. 700,000 years old? What? I, again, would like to say send your complaints to Jennifer Hoare. I don't buy that.
I don't either.
I don't buy it. Send your
complaints.
None of the above.
Yeah.
Is Dawson City in Alaska? Is that where Dawson City is?
Dawson City. There's like Dawson and Dawson City, and there's two of them. I don't know which one's which. Or maybe it's Dawson Creek. I don't know.
That's a TV show.
Yeah. I think we have Dawson. And I think Dawson Creek's in Canada.
I think she
Got
gets
it.
Extra points for that. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Sarah.
Yes.
If you get this correct, then we don't need to go to a tiebreaker. We'll probably do it anyway because it's fun. What is a driving bridle that does not have blinkers called?
Good question. I'm just going to go with bridle.
Oh! It is called an open bridle. Open bridle.
Oh, that would be true, yep.
So
hey,
there
Sarah,
you go. Jennifer
hey,
got
Sarah,
one right.
I drive, and I didn't know that either. So.
I have only ever used blinkers, so I don't know what I'm doing.
I think that's funny because that's usually what I use when I go riding, just a bridle.
Just a wide-open bridle. Okay, Lisa, at least this one's going to definitely propel us to the tiebreaker. It is currently 2-1. To move to the tiebreaker, you have to get this correct. And it's almost like I took a softball and I'm just lobbing it into you. Okay?
Cool.
All of your cred from the show will be gone with your trucker friends. All 250,000 of them that follow you on Facebook are going to throw you under the bus if you get this wrong. But no pressure, just saying.
Oh, okay, sure. Can I do like a call out or something?
Phone a friend. No, poll the audience, nothing. Just going to answer it. What does GVW stand for? GVW.
Gross vehicle weight.
Yes!
You did that because you wanted to do the tiebreaker, huh?
I guess not.
Lisa, you might actually get a contract for next year's season thanks to that answer, because I don't think they'd have called you if you'd gotten that wrong.
Oh, no. Maybe I can finish my barn if I do the show next year.
All right.
Get some automatic waters in there, man. It'd be awesome. All right. Tiebreaker. This is how this works. This is called Name the Movie. Name the Movie. I will
is it
start
open
reading
for everybody?
Off. Yes, it, for either one of you. Not Glenn. Please. He already knows the answer, and so does Jennifer. So just you two. Really. Just Lisa and Sarah. It's called Name the Movie. I'm going to start reading a series of clues. As soon as you know the answer or the movie, you are going to buzz in with your name, okay? So, Lisa, say you know the answer. You're going to go, Lisa! And then I'm going to say, Lisa, please go ahead and answer it. That is how the buzzer as the name works. Are we all clear?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Name the Movie. They start out kind of hard and narrow it down. Released in 2002 by DreamWorks Pictures. Nominated for Best Animated Feature for the Academy Awards. Narrated and or voiced, sadly he was not seen in the movie, but you could hear him, Matt Damon. Matt Damon starred in this movie. The story revolved around a herd of Kyger Mustangs. You guys still
Sarah.
Have nothing. Okay.
Sarah?
Oh, I heard Sarah.
Yep. Sarah. Is it Spirit?
Spirit. Stallion of the Cimarron. My final clue was the main character, Spirit, was made into a Briar model, which I don't have yet. Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, congratulations. Sarah, you
Yay,
are
Yay, Sarah.
Winner.
Thank you.
Lisa, the good news is you did get gross vehicle weight correctly, so you get to move on.
Lisa, you're such a good sport for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And you have a website. Where can people follow you?
I am at thelisakelly.com, and I'm also on Facebook. And I have a blue check mark to verify that I'm real.
Oh, do you? You got certified. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm real now.
We know
do
somebody
I need to
important.
Go through that? Do I need to do
no,
that
we're
to
not,
make sure people know I'm real?
They only do it for celebrities.
Oh, okay.
We're out. Yeah,
I guess you can't, request it or anything. They have to, pick you or something. I don't know.
I guess they watched you on the show enough, and they said, well, she looks a lot like the girl on the thing, so I guess we'll prove her. Lisa,
That's
thank you so much for getting up early. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
And Sarah, hold on here. I got to congratulate you. You won. You get the Plexin Fork, and you're going to love this thing. You're going to be out there cleaning poop every day because it's enjoyable.
I think Chaz is going to like it more than me.
I'm yes, I think
say,
so.
Hand that off. Hand that off.
Yep. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate you joining us there this morning from the doctor's office. I think that's a first that we've had a listener playing from a doctor's office. So,
I'm special, I guess, huh?
Yes, you are. You are very special. You are mini Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank
hold
you.
On. Jennifer's going to make sure she has the right address for you so we can get that shipped out to you. So just hold on.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you both for playing. That was fun. You know, when you
that
said...
That was awesome.
This shows you where my mind's at. When you said, according to the AMHA rule book, any coat color, that question, I was thinking,
yeah.
American Morgan Horse Association? Why did Jennifer write a Morgan Horse question for Sarah?
Wow. Bless your heart.
Yeah,
I was guessing AMHA was minis. I mean, they're mini people, and Jennifer's pretty good at making things kind of fit the guests that we're having. So I think that was a good question. I learned something new every day. I didn't know what an open bridle was. Gee, Glenn, you learned too.
I do too. I didn't know that, and I certainly didn't know that the Western National Western Stock Show was the largest, or that it was started in 1906. But Sarah does live in Colorado, so she had a shot at that one.
And now we know that, and the good news is I don't have to send any complaints to Jennifer this week. Usually I do.
She did do a good job. She did do a good job.
Very nice, Jennifer. Well done. Well done.
And I just got a note from Lisa. She says, I'm actually going to order a fork today. Good for you, Lisa. You're going to love it. It works in Alaska. You especially need it for Alaska because it doesn't work. There's no fork that will not break except for this one when you're doing frozen poop. And I'm sure that there's a lot of frozen poop in Alaska. So you definitely have to go to equitymfg.com. Well, that's it for today's show. We have a recorded show for you tomorrow, and then we're back here on Friday. Friday is just going to be a week away, basically, from the start of the races again. So we're going to next week have to be talking a little bit more about California Chrome. Jennifer's got the owners coming on and the trainer.
Of what?
I do? No, I was just joking.
I'm like, busy. What? You had me scared there for a second. Scared me.
Oh,
we're gonna have California Chrome on this show next Monday, so guys, you make sure you're here. California Chrome going to be live. I'm just kidding.
And you know what's really cool? Is California Chrome's going to be here with Carrie Underwood on Monday.
And Snoop Dogg. Oh, my God. It's a star-studded show. If you don't know why I reference Snoop Dogg a lot, you can just email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll be happy to tell you the story.
Or you can go back and listen to some of our past episodes. Now, you'll have to start at number one. And we've only done 922, so it'll take you a few weeks to get caught up. But you should be doing
Everybody.
That anyway. Why not?
Yeah, they've heard them all already. No need to go back.
All right, you guys, have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It was a very educational day today on Horses in the Morning, and we hope you'll be back Friday. I'm not doing 2 days in a row again, Glenn, so never ask me. Never.
Okay. Used to do five. Old lady.
I'm old. Bay neuter gals. Have a great one.